Please turn with me, if you would, to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, we're continuing our message on the Lord's Prayer. I believe that I'm plowing right where God wants us to plow during this time. And that is, we're preaching on the will of God. Jesus taught us to pray, and He said, when you pray, pray our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come. The next phrase is, Thy will be done. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we begin the message, I pray, Lord, You'd remove anything, any hindrance that would stand between us and the perfect will of God. I pray this morning that You would remove any thought that's contrary to the Spirit of God, anything in our lives that is contrary to the will of God. I pray, Father, You'd deal with that this morning. I pray You'd bless us with the Spirit. Thank You for each one that's come this way. Thank You for Your blessings. Thank You for this season. Thank You for the Lord Jesus. We have so much to be thankful for. Help us to preach this morning, not in our own spirit, but in the Spirit of the living God. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we preached this last year for Thanksgiving, but it works this year as we look at the will of God. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. I can look you straight in the eye this morning. I don't know what God wants you to drive. I don't know what home God wants you to live in. I don't know who God wants you to marry or where He wants you to go to school or where He wants you to work. But I can tell you this morning, it is the will of God for you to give thanks in everything in your life. The bad things, the good things, the questionable things, the things you don't understand, hey, give God thanks for those. Amen. That's a message in itself. The first thing that comes to mind when we look at the Word of God is the biggest priority in anybody's life should be to be saved. That should be the most important thing to anybody, is that they know where they are going to spend eternity and they know they have a right relationship with God. But mostly I'm preaching this morning to people, and if there's one here who is lost, I hope that God deals with your heart, and the Spirit of God deals with your heart before this day is over and you'll get saved. But most of the people I'm dealing with this morning are saved people. You've already come to a saving knowledge of Christ. You've already repented of your sins and trusted Him. The Spirit of God dwells inside of you. So, the next most important thing in your life is that you and I do the will of God. It should be first and foremost in our life. It should consume our thoughts. It should consume our prayer. It should consume our time, our tithes, our talents. Everything we have should be consumed on a daily basis in doing the will of God. I cannot stress that enough. The first thing that comes to mind here is when Jesus taught His disciples to pray. You understand this morning that Jesus practiced what He preached. He's on His way to the cross as we turn to this portion of Scripture, Matthew 26 and verse 36. The Bible says, as Jesus is headed to the cross, then cometh Jesus unto a place that is called Gethsemane, and saith unto His disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And He saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. Here is Jesus practicing what He taught us to pray. And He cometh to the disciples and findeth them asleep. And He saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. What were the same words? Father, not my will, but thine be done. You might call this morning the school of Gethsemane, where we learn in the school of Gethsemane to distrust our own ideas of what our life should be and trust the will of God for our life. God help us. We think we're educated. We think we're smart. We think we know what's best for us. But God help us to realize we're to surrender everything we are, everything we know. We're to surrender that to the will of God, for that is what is best for our lives. I told you this is going to be one of the most important messages you'll hear. We have our own agenda this morning. If I were to go around and ask each of you, no doubt somewhere, if you're mature and you're intelligent, somewhere in your mind, you've got for your life and the life of your family, you've got a 5-year plan. You've got a 10-year plan. You've got an idea, at least an idea, of where you want your life to be and where you want your life to go. Yet, listen carefully. This school of Christ teaches us, the school of Gethsemane teaches us to ditch our plans, to ditch our will, to ditch our desire, to ditch everything that is about us that we have a desire for, or throw all of it away for the will of God for our lives. That scares most Christians to death. And I hope when I'm through preaching this morning that you are no longer afraid of the perfect will of God for your life. James 4 says, go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into a city and continue there a year and buy and sell again and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, then vanisheth away. For James says, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Only in the will of God should I live my life today. Only in the will of God should I live my life tomorrow. Only in the will of God it should be ever. Jesus said, when you pray this prayer, pray it daily. Father, thy will be done. Jesus had said earlier in his life that he'd come for the sole purpose of fulfilling the will of the Father. He said in John 6, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. The Bible says that Christ in Galatians 1, Paul is writing of him, and he said this, who gave himself for our sins. That is, Christ gave himself for our sins, listen carefully, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God the Father. I'm living proof this morning, and I can tell you with both hands raised in praise, I'm glad Jesus Christ surrendered himself to the will of the Father, though it meant some hardship, though it meant some suffering. He surrendered himself, and I stand, and you sit there, and we're trophies of God's grace because Christ was obedient to the will of the Father. Thank God. I'm going to be eternally grateful. Time will run out, the world will run out, but I and you are going to be eternally grateful for Jesus surrendering his own will to the will of the Father. Listen, the will of God will never send you where the hand of God cannot protect you. The will of God will never send you where the hand of God will not bless you. The will of God will never send you where God will not equip you for what He's sending you to do. So often, listen carefully, we look at the cross,
And we'd say, boy, God's will for Christ was to suffer terribly. And Jesus said, take my cross upon me. Didn't he? And boy, we think the will of God is some horrible, demanding, harsh punishment for us. I'm going to correct that. That's the wrong thought. The will of God for you, the perfect will of God for you, is not harsh. It is not demanding. It is not difficult. God will equip you for it. And what, yes, there will be difficulties in the perfect will of God for you. Yes, there will be hardships. Yes, there will be suffering at times. Yes, there will be perplexities at times. But listen, you look past all those and see the joy that God has on the other side of that, and that joy is greater than the suffering that we had to go through. The Bible says that Jesus looked at the cross and He despised the shame, but He endured the suffering. Why? For the joy that was set before Him. The cross wasn't joy. The suffering wasn't joy. But what would come out of that suffering and what would come out of His sacrifice for us would be joy for all of eternity. The devil wants us to focus on the suffering and the pain and the difficulties of time. I don't want to do that. I want to focus on the joy that comes through those difficulties. I want to focus on the joys that come through doing the will of God for my life. This prayer starts as our Father which art in heaven. It hallows His name. It asks His kingdom to come. And it moves straight to the will of God. Lord, Thy will be done is not a self-centered prayer. The New Age Christian and the modern church, when you turn on your TV, says you need to pray and you need to serve God for what's in it for you. The prayer of Jabez is one of those prayers that people have, in the last few days, few years, people have written books and books and books and prayed the prayer, the Old Testament prayer of Jabez, which says, Lord, bless me, enlarge my borders, make me prosperous. That's not what Jesus taught us to pray. He taught us to pray, Thy will be done. Our idea of what the Lord ought to do in our lives is not necessarily what the Lord's plan for our lives is. And Jesus taught us to ditch our idea and take up the perfect will of God. We need to get back to the basics. We often pray for self-centered things. We often lose sight of the bigger picture and pray, Lord, bless me. And that's what the prayer of Jabez was. And that's okay. I want the blessings of God. But you hear me, more important than the blessings of God is, number one, the will of God. More important than the prosperity and God dumping out on us more than we can contain, and He has if we look around, more important is the will of God. The devil wants to keep us so focused on ourselves, so focused on our self-centeredness, so focused on our own desires, so focused on what's in it for me, so focused on this prayer of Jabez, bless me, forget about everybody else, just bless me. Hey, the devil wants to keep us, listen carefully, he wants to keep you small-minded and short-sighted. And God says, when Jesus teaches us, He said, don't you be small-minded, don't you be short-sighted, you pray for the will of God to be done in your life. The Father sees farther than you see. Hey, I got news for us. God's more intelligent than we are. God's wiser than we are. And we ought to let our plans and our desires line up with His desires, for He knows what is best. Prayer is not getting what I want when I want it. Prayer is aligning myself with the will of God. My stubborn, fleshly will with the Father's desires. Amen. I'm just going to be honest with you. I like stubborn people in a way. Stubborn people get things done. Amen. stubborn people are productive. I like people with some backbone. I like people with some intestinal fortitude. I'm going to go back to that old word, that gumption word. I like people, but watch out. It is people like that that often let their stubborn fleshly will get in the way of the will of God for their lives. Strong-willed people need to be careful. We must not let our will override the will of the Father. This is a daily prayer, seeking the will of God for our lives. God has a definite plan for us, and the Spirit prays for that plan to be done in our lives. But yet we must surrender to that plan through the Spirit of God. God always shows us the next step we take. David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet that is close, and a light unto my path that shines my path." Oh, just a little ways out. And we're to get in the Word of God and let the Word of God saturate us and become part of us and bring us into obedience to the Word, to the will, and to the worship of God. God always gives us enough light. We go through the trial, the sickness, the stress, the job layoff, the hardship, the financial tragedy. We go through all these things and we question Romans 8:28, which says all things work together for good to them who love God and who are the called according to His purpose. And we go through that trial, that death, that burden, that sickness, and we say, "God, how could this be Your will for my life?" Listen, we live in a world of compromise. We compromise what we know is the perfect will of God for our lives and what is our will. And we kind of blend them together and make a little cake. And we bake it, and it's known, and I'll preach this in a different message maybe next year, as the permissive will of God. You see, there's a perfect will of God for you. And there's a permissive will of God for you. Most Christians, I'm sad to say, instead of living in the perfect will of God for their life, are living in a permissive will. It's a blend of what God wants and what they want, kind of put together. And oftentimes that leads to tragedy and we don't understand it, but that's a different message. The two most common misconceptions in prayer is, "Lord, Your will must accommodate my wishes." The second most common misconception in prayer is, "Lord, I'll be surrendering to You for You just to make my life miserable." Some people look at the will of God for their lives and say, "Lord, You just want me to surrender for You to do the worst thing possible to me." That's just not the case. Maybe there's a case of Cade right now. God does not ask us to surrender to His will so He can do the worst thing possible to us. We assume that God's will is harsh, difficult, and demanding. Yet Jesus said, listen carefully, He said, "When you take my yoke upon you, I want you to understand that my yoke is easy." That means my pulling, when you step in the harness with Jesus, that is easy to pull because He's pulling in the other yoke. He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Did He not say that? Then why don't we expect that when we surrender to God's will for our life, that it's suddenly going to be difficult, harsh, and lead us in ways that we're going to hate and not like? I'm glad I surrendered to God's will to come here as your pastor. I really am. It was difficult. It was a difficult decision. It's a difficult task at times. But I'm going to tell you something. The blessings have far outweighed the difficulties. You know, I don't know what if I'd have said no? I've often thought about that. I believe the Lord would have quit me. I really do. I believe the Lord would have just spanked me good if I hadn't come here. But what a blessing. What a burden? No.
a blessing. The will of God is always a blessing for our lives. God gives us the strength to accomplish His purpose. He equips us for that He sends us to do. I like J.W. I preached for J.W. Tuesday night. He's a great man of God. And he said this. He said, "I didn't want to preach, but I got outvoted." You know what? What a blessing. If I could just pour that in your head this morning, what a blessing to do and accomplish the will of God in your life. Let me say this as we move on. If you have no interest in the will of God, no interest. It's just, ho-hum, I'll go to church Sunday, I'll do whatever, I'll act this way, I'll speak this way, I'll try to be that good neighbor, good. Hey, if you have no desire for the will of God in your life, check up. I said the two most important things in life are being saved and the will of God. If you're not interested in the will of God, check up on your salvation. Amen. It's that important. It's that important. God did not save us to go our own way, to do our own thing. He saved us to accomplish something in our life. He placed the Spirit of God inside of us that is going to direct us, lead us, and guide us into the perfect will of God for our lives. This is what the Bible says. I quoted Romans 8:28, but here is Romans 8:27. "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." When the Spirit makes intercession for you, when you get on your knees, it don't matter what you pray, the Spirit of God is making intercession for you according to the will of God. Might as well pray it anyway. "God, not my will, but thine be done." I've learned, listen, sometimes God's will puts us on hold. Sometimes God's will says, "Be patient." Sometimes God's will says, "Just stand." And sometimes for me, that's the hardest thing to do. To just stand. I'm one of those stubborn people. I'm one of those people who like to be productive, who like to keep going. And when God says, "I want you to stand, I want you to stop, I want you to be patient and wait for me until you take the next step," man, I get antsy. My feet want to move. My arms want to work. I want to go. God says, "Stand." I've learned something. That when God says, "Wait, hang on, just hold on, be patient." And I start getting antsy. At least I tell you, when I got something to do and I'm sitting there eating, I can't wait to get away from the table. I just start shaking my leg. And she says, "What do you got on your list to do today?" She knows I'm getting anxious to move. But sometimes God says, "Wait. Wait." I've learned that when I'm anxious to busy myself with something else. What are you saying, preacher? When the will of God says, "Stand, wait, don't proceed any further. Be patient. Busy yourself with the study of the Word of God. Busy yourself with prayer. Busy yourself with meditation. Busy yourself with something else." Jesus said to occupy until I come. That means stay busy until I come. So if God says, "Hang on, I'm not allowing you to do that yet. It's not my will for you to go there yet," hang on and be patience. Patient. "Wherefore the Bible says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Hey, gird yourself with the armor of God and stand there. You know, the military has something called a stand down. And that's when, you guys know, you've been in the military. And that's when they cease operations and they say, "Wait a minute, it's time for us to kind of stand down. It's time for us to take a little break and we need to regroup, we need to rethink." Hey, that's what the Bible says. When God says wait and He says stand down, soldier, then we're to stand aside, but we're not to lay our armor down. We're to stand aside, but not get out of the military. We're still part of God's plan, but maybe we're just waiting on Him. Faith, listen carefully. Faith is accepting the silence of God when He says wait. Let's say that again. Faith is accepting the silence of God when He says wait. Yet it's hard to stand down. It's hard to wait. But during that time, there comes a deeper dependency and a deeper meaningful relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Shake your head with me. I don't want to lose you. Listen. When God says it's yours, it's time for you, we're just going to wait just a minute. We're going to stand aside. We're going to stand down. And all of a sudden, heaven goes silent for a little while. The thing for me to do is get in the Word of God, continue in faith, continue in trust, continue believing, and wait right back. I've told you this story before. But Stonewall Jackson, when he was in the military, was placed, he sat in front of his commanding officer at the desk, and he was sitting at attention. The commanding officer got called away. He left and forgot about having Stonewall Jackson in his office. He was gone all night. When he opened his office the next morning, Stonewall Jackson was still sitting at attention. He couldn't believe it. He said, "Have you sat there all night?" He said, "Sir, I have not been properly dismissed." We know the character of those kinds of men. God help us to have character in the army of God, that when He says stand down, when He says wait, we say, "Yes, sir, according to the perfect will of God, I'll be here when you return." And by the way, soon He does return with the fullness of the Spirit of God, with a commanding presence that says, "I'm going to bless you for your service. I'm going to bless you for staying in the will of God." Listen, I'm going to close the message. John MacArthur said this, "When we're praying, 'Thy will be done,' we're praying against the fallen state of the world. We're rebelling against the evil of the world and the things that go against God and His Word." I'm going to tell you something. If you and I wrestle the will of God for our lives, please don't misunderstand me. I'm closing. If you and I cannot accept the will of God for our lives, and we wrestle against the will of God for our lives, there will only come frustration, enmity with God, a lack of peace in our hearts. There will only come a lack of purpose. But watch out. When we throw up the white flag of surrender and we say, "Father, not my will, but thine be done," that's when the peace floods back in. That's when the frustration is moved to the side. That's when the tranquility of God moves in through the Spirit. That's when we accept His will. That's when we find our purpose.